What's up, everyone? It's your boy, Addy Nett. And of course, I got my main man, Casey Carpenter.
Yes, sir.
And you are either watching or listening to
MLO.
Nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
Just
clean, easy, breezy.
That was self-checkout, Wayne.
Yeah, quick. We're in.
But sometimes self-checkout ain't quick. No. You ever pick up on that?
Oh, yeah.
There's like the lady with 34 items.
And then you get like
you get 12.
Like the fruit or something like that where it's like, oh, what does it weigh?
Right.
How many did you get?
Right.
You got to do a little calculation on there. It's not just scan the barcode, you know.
You'd figure with like AI now, like there'd be some technology that the camera just identifies what that is.
Yeah, we got three avocados.
So my transition on that is the cost of the grocery store aren't coming down.
No, they're not.
And today we're actually going to be talking about the inflation data that just came out with the most recent Fed meeting and how that's impacting interest rates. So I have a very passionate theory of this year, but backing up, we had told you a few episodes ago to expect an overall downward trend of interest rates this year.
Yep.
That's a pretty, what would you say, like conservative or obvious answer or prediction?
Yeah. And I mean, you're seeing it still broadcasted, you know, on all your social media sites. You're definitely seeing it on the news sites. Like, you still see, like, hey, interest rates are coming down, interest rates are coming down, that kind of stuff.
But we both did also advise everyone that on that downward trend, you're going to see rocky roads.
Yeah.
It ain't a slide.
Not a slide.
You're getting on a potato sack, and just summer camping in.
Yeah.
This is going to be just as challenging of a hike downward because of the ups and downs. And we've experienced that. We really, really, really have. Like when a few weeks ago when the Feds had announced that they're neutral, we're not going to reduce interest rates, we're not going to raise them, there was like a freak out in the market before where you saw interest. Oh, well, what if they do get better and we're going to lower our interest rates? And then there was neutral. So then it went the swing the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like dealing with a teenager going through puberty. The emotions
the emotion swings are real. Yeah, you're up, you're down. But it is, I mean, it is important to understand, like, you know, when you climb a mountain, it's not just an easy climb up, right? You have ridges, you have different paths you need to take, ups and downs. And same when you're going on the downside of the mountain. Like, I do believe, as far as interest rates go, like, we have kind of came over the crest of the high interest rates, you know, at a certain point last year, they were almost, they were 8.5 at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing them kind of in that 7% to high 6 range sometimes, you know? And so we're in a better part of it, but we still have a rocky up and down movements to go until we get to these low interest rates, which everybody's waiting on. We got plenty of clients waiting on it, especially for the refinance stuff. And that all just depends on kind of how this economy is performing, going into Addy's point here of like inflation and stuff like that we're seeing. And as you as a consumer out there, it's like, well, what does that really mean? Like, I thought inflation was under control. I thought it was down. Why aren't rates coming down?
Well, and to put that, to disclose my theory with the inflation, I think it's really challenging right now to even believe the data that the Fed and the government is choosing to showcase. I think it's just there's 50 different things they could focus on, whether they need good news or bad news. It's like Baskin Robbins, multiple flavors to choose from, right? And I believe that the Feds are being manipulated to have a perfect timing to when the ballots are being dropped. So to explain that is, if we start reducing interest rates now and choosing all the good news to focus on, right, the general pop might get used to that too soon, and it might not be considered a good thing for the Democratic Party when they're up for election. But if they wait for that perfect time, if we're voting in November and it's all happening 120 days from November, whatever month that is, then 90, 60, 30, and things are progressively aligned with that date. Oh, wow, man, Biden really figured this out and got us to the promised land. I 100% believe that that's what's going on. And I respectfully reply to anyone that says, well, the Fed is separate from the current, from the administration. Really? Really? Think about that.
Right.
You don't think there's an influence? You don't think the president can pick up the phone and tell people to pull some strings?
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, do you think I'm way off base?
No, not at all.
I don't want to get canceled. It's just my personal theory.
No, do not... Yeah, these are personal theories out here. You don't need to go all cancellation on us. You know, like they say, the Federal Reserve is independent from the government.
It's not.
But there's just... That's far-fetched to believe that there's not similarities in there on what they're doing for their moves or their policies that align with either the current... You know, party that's in place running the show. You're in an election year, and as history has shown, election year does change how money's being printed or not printed, how interest rates are either raised or lower. Like a lot of the times, if you have that leverage as a political party, like you're wanting it all to be in a good spot for you to get reelected. I mean, chances are it's like, hey, if you have high inflation, low employment rates. Mm-hmm. You know, we are the American people. Like, that's what we are feeling. And so, do you want to keep seeing that go for another 4 years? Because maybe it just hasn't for all of us, you know, especially like cost of groceries, like we just talked about, and things like that. Living the last 3-4 years, we've seen it be very costly and hard. You know, people's savings are down dramatically, credit cards are up.
And God, so, to add to that, too, like, sorry to interrupt you, but on the credit card thing, when we're focusing on inflation, oh, inflation was at 0.3 rather than the targeted 0.2 or whatever it might be. The issue with the inflation number, and in my opinion, is humans are still going to provide. We're still going to fill up our gas tanks or charge your batteries, whatever car you have. Mm-hmm. You're still going to buy food. You're still going to pay your electricity, turn on the lights, turn on the heat when it's cold. That stuff doesn't stop no matter what the price is. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily an indicator of the consumer spending. It's the corporation setting the cost of essential needs. Then the reason why there's no deflation in that situation is 99% of Americans have credit cards. And it's no coincidence that we see utilities jump an average of 17 to 20% in the last 90 days. And yep. Then you see credit card debt jump from breaking a trillion to jumping 1.13 trillion just last week. A 10+% increase in credit card debt,
yeah,
and a 10 to 20% increase of essential goods and necessities.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't an us problem.
No, no, it's not.
And I mean, that's why I just think it's not fair to be like, oh, we're not doing well with inflation, and then penalize the rest of us.
100%.
Yeah. And when I say penalize, it's not just interest rates; it's a thriving economy, which is what everyone needs.
Yep. And so, I mean, kind of, you know, circling back with your point, like, is there a strategic play at place with the timing of when we start to see interest rates really coming down, shifting the market, getting that economy in a better position? And I think you're right. I think it's kind of teased it up to right before we vote in November.
Yeah.
In that timing. So does that start in July, you know?
Right.
Does that kind of get us going, like summer months? Like, me and Addy said, gosh, I mean, last year that we were thinking we'd probably see kind of that major shift happen mm-hmm. in that third quarter of 2024, this year, the third quarter, where a lot of people were saying like, oh, could be March, could be the first, second quarter, really start. No, I think it tees it up to where you're right, is that play 90, 120 days out from when voting happens? I think so. You know, I think that's where you're going to see those changes happen, because it's teeing them up for, in probably their minds, their best opportunity to get reelected and keep going for another 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you agree, do you agree?
Yeah, no, I feel you. It comes back to different conversations you and I have had about the timing aspect. Timing is the hardest thing to do. And when it comes to real estate, and you and I both have, you know, we've seen people wait on the sidelines and try to time it. It really works out. Like, most of the time, like, even I was thinking the other day about when we were trying to buy an investment property a few years ago and I didn't pull the trigger for A, B, and C reasons. And then now it's like, oh man, almost every real estate situation you can look back and like be like, oh, I wish I did that sooner, or I wish I pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
It's hard not to, but we've broken it down in other episodes. We're like, hey, if you're renting, it's a great, and you've got some sort of down payment, it's a good opportunity to take advantage of a buyer's market, get closing costs paid for. Yes, the payment's going to be high, but you own your asset. It goes from an overhead cost to an investment, right? That's a really good play. Obviously, forced relocations. If you're going to a cheaper cost of living area or you're relocating for a better job, that's a great position. If you have a good primary home with a really low interest rate, I don't think it's anything worth fretting about. No. I really don't. You're gaining decent appreciation rates. You're in the market. There's no force needing to sell something right now if you've got a portfolio. So a lot of it does come down to where you're at in the monopoly board.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. And you don't want to, you know, jump the gun prematurely because, you know, right now, if you got those lower rates that you secured in 2020, 2021, like you're in a good position.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to get fooled by the upgrading.
Like, no, and that is a hard thing, I think, for us as Americans, especially, yeah, you know, as anyone. And, you know, maybe you're in your still 1970s house, and it's like, yeah, those new construction homes are building a new home, everything new, you know, it's great. But, like, let's be realistic about it. And it's like, to double your overhead, you know, is your income doubling? I mean, honestly, because the last thing you really want to do is – maybe you can't afford it, but do you want to stick yourself into that higher overhead cost? And now you're eating up the savings you were putting away every month.
Right.
The retirement, you know, maybe you were maxing out your retirement, like putting yourself in the long-term good position because that's kind of a short-term want.
Yeah.
And you have those long-term goals still out there. So in all reality, like the real estate market really isn't going anywhere, you know, for the most part. Like, you know, again, nobody has that crystal ball, but maybe you're just going to keep that home right now with that lower payment and then time that right to sell it when these rates do come down, probably have more offers. Mm-hmm. You know, you just might be subject to maybe a higher purchase price of that home. So those are the things you have to weigh out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like we talked about too, if you have the means, you're renting right now, like still consider taking a look at buying now because again, you can get into that home price of today rather than that home price a couple of years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a more thriving market where more offers are in and bids are up on it. So you're purchasing it higher. I actually did have, we had a couple comments from last week's episode, I think, or 2 weeks ago when we were talking about, hey, you know, now is a good time. If you're trying to get in, try to take advantage of sellers and the negotiation side of them paying closing costs and stuff like that, right? And I had like a good buddy from my military days reach out and different market, I think it was Midwest or something like that. And he had lost out on an offer because they were asking for closing costs to be covered, but they also increased the price on there. And you know, with that, not every seller's going to go for it, right? I mean, it is just a negotiation tactic you are going for, right?
Sure.
But there's also a lot of things at play, like down payments, you know? Like maybe you're only putting a little bit down where another offer is putting more down and not asking for closing costs and stuff like that. So that's where like your real estate agent, your good advisor is going to try to help work with you to get that offer accepted and see that seller help the seller see the benefit of your offer, you know, right? Because it's not just like, hey, apples to apples, your offer is not getting accepted because of X, Y, and Z. Like, what are you up against? You know, what does the seller have going on? Do they have a new relocation that they need to, you know, do ASAP because they're switching states and switching jobs, you know, type of loan, your down payment, things like that. So it's not just an offer on a sheet of paper makes or breaks it. There's the other details about it or what you're up against too that can compare it.
It's a good point because, yeah, I mean, it does depend on the area of the market. And then depends.
Every place is different.
And it does depend on the type of home you're looking for. Like certain areas are like heavily driven by schools, public schools.
Yeah, good point.
So like
good
almost point. No matter what interest rate market a good home and a good school district is going to sell and have some sort of demand. It just, that family aspect trumps everything, right? That's always how it goes. But yeah, I mean, that's an old thing in the book where sellers do kind of judge their offers by how much money they're putting down. And if you're a low down or low down conventional or even a veteran utilizing the zero down that you earn by serving our country, to Casey's point, that's when we're really involved. And to describe what that's like is like, well, when you submit your offer, we'll call the selling agent and we'll explain the whole VA program. We'll attest to the fact that this person could go 5, 10, 15, 20, 30% down. And in some instances, I even talk to my clients like, I think it'd be beneficial if you let me black out all your details of your bank statements and demonstrate your assets, because I've won offers that way where we'll black out all the details, right? But just show them like a snip of like, hey, I've got 50 grand in my savings. I've got 50 grand in stocks. Mm-hmm. I've got 200 grand in retirement.
Yep.
And that totally just equalizes the playing field. It sounds so simple and obvious, but not a lot of people do it.
Oh, super rare, especially on the financing side. But I mean, you think about it, if you're a cash buyer, it's what you're providing, proof of funds. You know?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's cash buyers have to do that. Good
point. Yeah, it's the same concept. But then in reality, like, your offer doesn't fully explain your entire financial picture, you mm-hmm. know, as a home buyer. It just kind of shows what you're offering for the purchase price, what you're putting as that down payment. That seller has no idea of your other assets, like your stocks, your investments, your retirements, which can say like, yeah, we might not be using that money for the purchase, but this makes you a very strong borrower, you know, to buy that home. And that does go a long ways. It goes a long ways in the financing as well. Underwriting different loan types, they look at that and they go, well, hey, if you lost your job tomorrow,
how long could you pay
your long could you pay the bills, and especially the mortgage? Well, you got 50 in stock, 50 grand in stocks, 100 in retirement, another 50 in a 401k. Like, you can pay this mortgage for quite some time to probably allow you to get into another job. So those honey buckets, those aspects, those reserves do help. And so it's just about having that advisement, you know, because at the end of the day, if your loan officer really isn't communicating to the sellers that full picture of how qualified you are, and the loan officer and your buyer's agent aren't working as a team, and it's just an offer submitted of going back and forth, like, sometimes you might lose out on that deal. So I think it's huge to advocate for your home buyer.
It's massive. It comes down to using someone that cares, not using, you know, a Cubicle Warrior, Rocket Mortgage, or the big box names. I'm just thinking that too with the Super Bowl this weekend. Haven't seen a Rocket Mortgage commercial in a really long time. We used to see them all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Not anymore. I got a money.
Yeah, what's up with that, guys? What's up with that?
So I want to conclude. We've got about 60 to 90 seconds here. I want to conclude on our original subject of the interest rates.
Yes.
So I want to leave everyone with like, hey, even though there might be these blips of negative worsening or an increase of the interest rate, we even saw that happen. Oh, they got worse Monday, and then Tuesday, the feds make this blah, blah, blah statement. The market overreacts. And then we're seeing today an even a correction. Mm-hmm. So it's just important, like, if you're closing within 30 days and you're on a good week without a Fed meeting, it's probably a good idea to lock. If you are more than 30 days away, you've got some runway to land the plane. It's just really challenging to see apples to apples in a volatile week with how much the market reacts to Fed meetings and stuff. And when I mean react, like the interest rate moving 0.1, 0.2% up or down. And you might hear from your lender, if they're not fully transparent, oh, the rates stay the same, we're not changing your rate, don't worry. If you're not locked, that person might be telling you your rate's not changing, but the charge that you're getting for that rate is always changing.
Yep.
That's what's like Tesla stock.
Yeah.
Like, that's moving.
I think it's very important for you as a home buyer to know, like, that interest rate has costs associated with it, just like a stock has value associated with it, right?
Yeah.
You know, if something happens within that company, good or bad, you see the stock go up, you see the stock go down.
Right.
is very similar on the interest rate side. It's just more dictated to what the feds are saying, what the future prediction is for the market, and what kind of data is coming in. And one thing that's like two key data is that really kind of fluctuate or drive that interest rate or interest rate costs is your inflation numbers coming in, inflation percentages. And then another one is employment. Those are two big things that the feds look at.
Job reports,
right? And a big thing like the inflation, you know, positivity of that coming down has tended to help interest rates. On the flip side, good employment, good job report numbers, that shows that the economy is doing okay, and that actually can keep the interest rates up higher and change it. So it's this tennis ball match.
Yeah, it is. It totally is. And don't forget, you know, we've talked about this recently. What you're seeing online isn't always accurate. It's usually disclosing averages of the perfect scenario. So not everybody's perfect. I'm not. Casey's not. But even if you've got a 735 score, we were talking about that, there can be a $5,000-$6,000 difference for the same rate as someone with a 780. And that goes for down payments. There are different tier levels from 3, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, and all the way up. Call that LTV. That can lower or increase what you're paying for the same rate and limit or expand your options. So,
yep. And like location, location's a big part too.
Yeah. I think
we'll leave it at this for the last little tidbit. So when you're out there and you're like, well, I'm getting told all different types of stuff, seeing all different types of rate quotes online and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Here's a really good spot is you just go on Google. And for us here in the Pacific Northwest, specifically Oregon, just type in Oregon mortgage rates. The very first thing that pops up is a state average of what's going on with interest rates. It's a plug and play. And I've actually found it to be pretty close to accurate there, where you're going to see, you know, 6% offered online. You plug that in today and it might be showing you the average mortgage 30-year fix for Oregon is 7.125 or 7.25, somewhere around that range.
It's so funny that the cliche Google it is actually probably the most accurate tool right now.
I think so. For mortgage.
Because we've had a lot of them and I've used different ones, but I agree with Carp that because you put in your credit score, your state, your zip code, the loan amount within, I think, 50 or 100 grand. Yep. And you're like,
it's pretty accurate. Accurate. I would hedge the bet that you can do that for all your other states, Washington, Idaho, Arizona, wherever you're living in. Just do that. You know, the state mortgage interest rates on Google, you see it pop right up in there, gives you a good idea, and it shows you all different loan programs too.
Yeah, that's a good tip. So nice. Well, that's our inflation report, CPI data coming at you.
And you guys always know if you have, you know, questions, comments, please shoot them out. Like we just discussed, you know, someone that reached out earlier on one of the episodes. Like we love that feedback. We love the information. We like to know what's going on out there.
Yeah.
So hit us up.
Hit us up, guys. Now, we appreciate it. Just shoot us a message. Our contact details are in the show notes. If you're watching this episode on social media, make sure to hit that like and send us a comment. We always love that. Or a direct message if you're super shy. One of those SS's.
Yeah.
So thanks, everyone. Once again, we do appreciate it. And until next time, we will
catch you later.